Praise the Lord. We apologize for that disruption of the broadcast just now. I don't know, somehow it just froze up here. But anyway, listen, as Cain kills his brother, what happened here is God was angry with Cain. And what happened when he was angry with Cain? He cursed him. And now Cain was kicked out of the kingdom. Cain was no longer able to get the things from God that he had because of his deed.
Amen.
Let's move on. All right. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. And it reads as follows. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I shall smite the land of Egypt. Let me read it again. And the blood shall be a token upon your houses, upon the houses. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This is God. This is talking about the land of Egypt now, that when the Lord promised to go through the land and kill every firstborn. God said he was going to kill every single firstborn child. Every single one. However, God said, if you take that blood and sprinkle upon the doorpost, when I send a death angel to come through, when he sees that blood, he'll pass over your home. He will not slay you. Now, you outside, that's a different story. Now, you got to listen, understand something here. When God said, be in your house. Oh, y'all not listening. When God said, be in your house, you should be in your house. He said, when you're in your house and he sees the death angel come by and see that blood over that doorpost, he's not going to kill a soul in that house. The firstborn won't die. But if that firstborn is outside, he's going to die. That blood's not going to protect them. Amen. You got to be under the banner of that blood.
Yes, yes.
He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass by. I'm not going to touch a soul in that house. I want to tell you something about that. Even some of the Egyptians, listen to this. Some of the Egyptians took that blood.
Amen.
And they posted it over their homes. They posted that blood over their homes.
Amen.
They posted that blood over their homes, even though they wasn't following God, even though they wasn't going out with Moses, but they posted that blood over their home because they didn't want their firstborn to die. Some of them magicians did that. And then when Moses and the children of Israel came out of Israel, they came out of Egypt right along with them. But they wasn't serving God. God wasn't on their plan. God wasn't in their mix. God wasn't in their fix. They just wanted to come out of Egypt safely with Moses.
Amen.
That's just something to think about. When God seen the blood, when he passed over all whoever house had that blood, the death angel did not stop. He kept going. And that's how our lives need to be. Our lives need to be covered with the blood. When the death angel coming, he keep going.
Amen.
That angel bringing sickness, sin, and disease. He keeps going because we're covered with the blood. When we're covered with the blood, we can move forward safely. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let me read that again. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Isn't that something? Christ entered into the Holy of Holies one time. And as he entered the Holy of Holies one time, his sacrifice was more than enough to make redemption possible through the shedding of his blood. Amen. For all mankind. Amen. To whoever would receive him, they would obtain salvation and eternal life. But what happens is, we all must be willing to accept his sacrifice.
Amen.
If you don't accept the sacrifice, it ain't gonna benefit you. But it was done. It took place. Christ went to the Holy of Holies, and man offered up himself, and he redeemed us all. If we accept it, it's already done. Not a free gift. Recently was my birthday, and people were sending me gifts through Cash App, birthday gifts. But it was up to me to accept it.
Amen.
The gift could have sat right there. The gifts could have sat right there, and I could look at the Cash App and see the gifts right there.
Amen.
Until I accept them, use them, they just there. But they were sent. The gifts were sent.
Amen.
Amen. So when you look at this scripture, the way was made for us to receive salvation through the blood of Christ. But the whole thing was, do we want to accept the blood of Christ in our life? Do we want to accept the blood of Jesus being applied to our lives?
Amen.
Do we want to accept the blood of Jesus to be accepted into our lives? Do we want to accept the blood of Jesus to cleanse our mind and our hearts from our sin? This is what the scripture is talking about, because the redemption was already done.
Amen.
According to the scripture, Hebrews 9 and 12, the redemption was done once. It didn't have to keep doing it again. Like in the old days, they had to keep going back. They had to keep going back. The priest had to keep going back. And if the priest wasn't right, he didn't come out, and nobody was, oh my goodness, nobody was getting, nobody was getting sin forgiven.
Amen.
Nobody was getting sin forgiven.
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody was getting delivered. Nobody was getting healed. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody receiving nothing if the priest died because he wasn't living right. Let's move on. The blood. They're talking about the blood today. Let's go to Exodus chapter 24. Let's run over to Exodus chapter 24 real quick. In verse 8. I'm in the wrong chapter. Excuse me. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 8 real quick. Okay, and it reads as follows. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it up on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made concerning you, concerning all these words. Let me read again. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning the words. What is it? Concerning all these words. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Moses sprinkled the people with the blood to signify and complete a covenant that he made with the people, that God made with the children of Israel, even though some of the children of Israel, they just wouldn't understand. I don't care what you told them. Amen. They still were going to do what they wanted to do. And it's the same thing today. We're sprinkled and washed in the blood of Jesus when we accept him as our personal Savior. But it's what we do after we accept him that's going to make all the world a distance. See, it's one thing to hear about God, and another thing to accept him and follow. And that was the same case with Israel. Did you hear me? They're constantly seeing God do things. Like, we constantly see God do things in our lives. But it doesn't mean we're going to obey God. It doesn't mean we're going to follow what God said. It doesn't mean we're going to follow through what God said.
Amen.
The thing about this is that the blood of Jesus was made possible for those who were willing to accept it. Not everybody's not accepting the blood of Jesus. Not everybody's going to accept Christ as Savior. Not everybody's going to obey God. But you got millions of people going to church, but they won't accept God.
Amen.
They got gazillion people going to church. They're going to online churches. They're coming watching this broadcast and thousands of others on Facebook Live, but they won't accept Christ as their personal Savior. They won't ask the Lord to wash them in their blood. They want to say, this virus is over. They're going to go back to church buildings and continue on what they've been doing. And they're never going to accept Christ. But I got news for all of them. They're going to be lost.
Amen.
Did you hear me? They're going to be lost. They're going to be lost because they never accepted the Savior. Moses told the people. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord had made with you concerning all these words. God made a covenant then, and he made a covenant with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For us. A covenant was made through Jesus Christ for us that we might be free from sin, that we don't have to be bound up in sin. And lost.
Yes. Amen.
We don't have to be lost eternally. Unnecessarily. Many people take this as a joke, but it's not a joke. This is not a game. This is not make believe. This is not a theory. This is a fact. Except you repent of your sins, you're going to be lost in your sins. It's not a theory. When Jesus went to Calvary, he went for a purpose. He already knew some people would never accept him. He already knew his shed blood on Calvary would never make a difference to the people. He already knew that. His shed blood on Calvary would never make a difference for some of the people.
Amen.
He already knew millions would reject him, but he knew millions would accept him. When Moses in this verse here, in Exodus chapter chapter 21, verse 8, it tells us that the people were sprinkled with the blood to confirm that covenant. When Jesus died on that cross, the covenant for us was made if we accept it. No other way. The Bible said there is no other name under heaven whereby a man can be saved but in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't say nothing about joining a church. You can join any church you want. You can join any church, any synagogue you want, but you must be born again. Those that's watching the broadcast by television, let me pray for you real quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I touch every liberal soul that's watching this broadcast. Oh God, I ask to just save, deliver, and make free today. Oh God, I ask you to touch their life today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's move on. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Accepting Christ and his shed blood. Accepting Christ and his shed blood. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. And it reads as follows. All and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Let me read it again. And almost all things that are by the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In order for your sins to be given, to be forgiven and washed away, they got to be purged with the blood of Christ. In the old day, the blood was purged. The sins were purged with the priest going into the holy and holies. But if the priest wasn't right with God, nobody got sin forgiven that year. They had to wait till the next year. Can you imagine that? And you're dying your sins? Oh, my goodness. Did you hear me? In the old day, in Bible times, when the priest, high priest, went to the holy of holies, if he wasn't right with God, and they didn't hear the bell ringing no more, he died, and the sins of the people wasn't forgiven for another year. They had to wait till another high priest go in there if he make it out. They make the offering. But today, because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, his precious blood can cleanse us individually. That's what I like about this. That's why it's not about going to a church and shaking some preacher's hand. It's about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and allowing his blood to be applied to your life and allowing him to live through you, speak through you, and guide you each day. Oh, if you want to. I know people just teach about prosperity and living good and all that other stuff, but you must be born again. You must repent of your sins. You must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There is no other way under heaven whereby man can be saved. Your money cannot save you eternally. Oh, yeah. I know some people say, money is worthless. It's not true, because the Bible says money can bring you out of things. Money can make ways for you. Yes, it can. The Bible does say that. Does talk about that. I've read it. It does talk about that. Money is just a substance, what you use it for. But it cannot pay you into heaven.
Amen.
Did you hear that? Money can't get you into heaven. It can get you nice stuff here. It can make you, let me tell you something. You have the right amount of money, you can get the right lawyer that knows how to do things. Or you wind up with a dumb lawyer that don't know nothing. Them lawyers that get paid big bucks, they win big cases. They know what they're doing. Them lawyers that never win cases don't know what they're doing. Those free guys, they don't take time and study. That's why they free. They freebies. They go, oh, yeah, I do it for free. Hey, that's a couple of dollars. But those guys that charge you big money, they're going to get paid, and they're going to do their best to win your case. I'm not talking about one well-known one that y'all heard about all year long that lost 60 cases one right after the other. That's funny. But eternally, only thing going to get you into heaven is when you go there. I know people talk about, I know he made it because I seen him looking up. What else can you do when you're laying fat on your back? It did, but look up. What else can you do but look up? That don't mean you made it in. It means you look it up. It don't mean you made it nowhere. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall not turn in God's sight. Did you hear me? The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall not turn in God's sight. God don't allow no sin, so you ain't getting in. That rhymes, right? God don't like no sin, so you ain't entering. But through the blood of Jesus, when you get to the so-called pearly gates, everybody talk about the pearly gate. When them angels see you, you come there walking all big and bad. I mean it is. And they look at that list. And they look at that list. And they looking. I don't see your name here. Say, what do you mean? I got a church a lot of money. What do you mean my name in there? I don't see your name there. You're not in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no record of you. What do you mean? I gave the preacher and the minister a lot of money. I gave the priest my property and all that stuff. I left everything to everybody. What you mean? It says your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Have you been washed in the blood? What blood? What you talking about? He said, depart from me. The Lord will tell you, I'm not making this up. It's in that word. If your name is not found in the book of life, you're not getting eternal life. Amen. Oh, my goodness. In the book of Revelations, it says the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into the new Jerusalem. But it also says, only the saved shall enter therein. If you're not saved, if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, if you have not been washed in the blood of Jesus, you're not entering in. You're on your own, buddy. That's really, really something to think about. That's really, 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 really something to think about. Let's think about that for a second. The scripture says, whosoever will, let him come, right? Okay, most people know that scripture. Whosoever will, let them come. God in no wise cast them out. So people figure they're going to walk up to the pearly gate and God's not going to cast them out. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said, except you repent of your sins, you all likewise perish. If you never repent of your sin, never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you will never obtain eternal life. Let's look at verse 22 again. It said, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no remission of your sin if the blood of Jesus has not been applied. Amen. I know people walk around talking about once saved, always saved. There is no such thing in the Bible because it says we die daily. We got to repent of our sins daily. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. Never has and never will be. Repentance is something you have to do. Repentance is something you must do. Repentance is something you must do individually. People go to churches and they worship God together with a bunch of people, but that's not personal salvation. That's fellowshipping with people. You have to have a personal relationship with your God. With God, you have to personally have a personal walk with God. You have to be the person that really walks with God for yourself. You have to be willing to obey God's word yourself.
Amen.
Not based off nobody else. Not based off nobody else's words. You have to be willing to obey God's word for you. Without the remissions of sins, there is no forgiveness. There is no cleansing. Did you hear me? Without the remissions of sins, with that blood, there's nothing happening. But blood has to be applied for the remissions to take place. So without the remission, there's nothing going on. Because there's no blood applied to it. People take it as a joke. It's not a joke. People take communion and they still don't realize they're talking about the body and blood of the Lord. They still don't figure this out. Because they've never been to the Savior. People take communion like it's a joke. No, I'm not like the bishops and all the Catholic Church and all them that tell people you can't take communion. I ain't telling you that. You know why I'm not going to tell you that? Because I'm going to read you what the Bible say. If you can't apply what the Bible say, you're going to jack yourself taking communion. Did you hear me? You're going to jack yourself taking communion. I'm not joking. I know the Catholic Church is on you. I'm not a priest and all that, and a bishop and all that. I'm not going to let you take it. You ain't got no right to tell nobody what they can and cannot do. The scriptures are authority on who can take communion. And those that don't follow what the scriptures do and then do take communion, they damn their own soul and don't even realize it. Amen. That's why you need to read the Bible for yourself. Amen. Because there ain't no preacher can tell you when you cannot take communion. Because if you read the scripture, it actually says something. When a person coming to take communion and a man of God, he's a real man of God, he could pray. And the scripture said that sins will be forgiven. Even when a person is sick, I could go on and tell you things that these preachers don't even know. And they run around screaming this and screaming that. They're so wrapped up in being successful to it blows their mind that they can't figure anything out in God's word. Let's move on. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Sometimes you're fighting with these scriptures trying to find them. They're looking right at you. Okay, Matthew 26 and verse 28. And it reads as follows. Listen to this. This is Jesus, the Lord, speaking. Matthew 26 and verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." I'll read it again. "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins." Now, did you hear what it says? He said it was whose body? His body. This is the Lord saying that his body and his blood was shed for the remission of sins of many. He wasn't talking about the priest. He wasn't talking about the bishop. He wasn't talking about a church building. He was talking about himself. Amen. That he was shed his blood on Calvary. On the tree. And that he was shed his blood for the remissions of sins. But see, the whole thing is, we got to be willing to come to God to repent of our sins. Amen. When God sent his only begotten son that we might be saved, it was up to us. But what's amazing about God is this. He knew some of us would never accept him. That's amazing. Amen. We wasn't even born yet. We wasn't even brought into the world yet. But God already knew that some of us would laugh this off and then spend eternity burning in hell and then in a lake of fire because we wouldn't obey his word.
Amen.
The enemy desires to sift us all as wheat, as if we allow him to. You got to stay prayerful. You got to stay in your word and listen sometime and be quiet and hear God's voice speaking to you. Jesus said in this verse, "For this is my blood of the New Testament." Notice he said the New Testament. New Testament. But this is my blood. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Oh, my goodness. Who's willing? Who's willing to come to God and allow him to save them? Who's willing to come to God and allow him to deliver them? Amen. Not join the church, building, or organization. That ain't saving you. Do you know you can read the Bible all day long and still be lost? You can read the Bible all day long. You can sit there and pray all day long. But until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will be lost on all those things. Amen. That's the Bible. The Bible said, except we repent of our sins, and then it says, so many has received him, oh my God, they become the sons of God. So you can sit there and read your Bible. You can pray for Mary, Harry, Joe, and anybody you want and still be lost. Amen. You must be born again. You must repent of your sins. You must ask Christ to wash you in his precious blood and forgive you and save you and help you to live for him. It's just the truth. It's not a theory. It's not a myth. It's not an ideology or whatever foolishness people call it today. But God loved us. But God so loved the world. When he was talking about the world, he was talking about the people. For God so loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God just sent Christ into the world to save the trees. The lions, the tigers, he came to save us because we're the destroyer of those things. Amen. We're the destroyer and the hunter of the trees, the lion, the birds, the fish. So God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever of us would believe in him would be saved and not perish. We would obtain eternal life through Jesus Christ. But it's something that one of the main thing I notice consistently, that God always bringing me, giving me to bring about, that he's about relationship. God is all about personal relationship, not churchship, going to be a part of some church or organization. That's not salvation. That's fellowshipping with people. Amen. That's not relationship with God. People say, ooh, you shouldn't say that. It's a fact. The scripture says that we should not feel assembled together, but the scriptures also that we should have a fellowship, a relationship with Father. People don't even know God is Father. They don't know him as Father, and they sure don't know him as friend. But when we have a relationship with Father, we can call, the scripture say, we call Abba Father, we call Father for help. We call him for help because we need Father. Oh, Father, help me in Jesus' name. Help me! We got to call Father. But you got to have a relationship.
Amen.
You got to build a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. The Bible says we're heirs with God and Christ, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is sent to comfort us and guide us and lead us in all truth if we want to go. You don't want to go. He's not guiding you. Let's move on. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 25. Matthew chapter 27, verse 25. And it reads as follows. Now listen to this. And then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Let me read it again. And then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. What dumb people. That's what I call dumb. That's what I call super dumb. Why did I call them dumb? They were fools in my book. When Christ was being crucified, Pilate asked them, what should we do with this guy? They said, let his blood be on us. Let it be us. Let it be on our children. Do you know what these people were saying? Let the blood that he shed be on us. If he is innocent, then we're the guilty ones. We'll pay for it, and then we'll have our children pray for it. These people cursed their children and didn't even realize. They condemned their own children for a crime the children didn't commit.
Amen.
They were guilty, but now they're going to bring the guilt and crime on their children. They were so corrupt and wicked in their heart. They're going to say, Crucify Christ! Crucify him! Crucify him! Let his blood that he shed be on our heads and on our children's heads. It wasn't for good. It wasn't for forgiveness of sin. It was for murder. They said crucify him. It was for murder. There's a big difference for what the blood is for. They had no idea because they were so blinded by their wicked hearts. Did you hear me? They were so blinded by their wicked hearts, they didn't realize. This is what I constantly tell people about salvation in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. I mentioned about hypocrites, about people calling everybody in the church a hypocrite. I'm sure people call me a hypocrite, but I don't know how they get to watch me 24 hours a day, what I do, because nobody here, just me, my wife, my mother-in-law. So I don't know how anybody in the world could be wondering, he's a hypocrite. I don't know how they're watching me because nobody comes here and visit me. Nobody's visiting us right now, and I go very few places. So I don't know if they're calling me a hypocrite. Now. I don't know how they're going to figure that one out. I need to figure that one out. But generally, a person that calls a person a hypocrite most of the time is a hypocrite themselves because they have to watch somebody else be a hypocrite.
Amen.
They got to watch everything they do to know that they're a hypocrite. That's a lot of time. You're going to take 24 hours a day watching somebody else figure out they're a hypocrite? But the scripture here shows how the blood was being affecting them in a different manner. Because they wanted Christ to die on that cross. They had no idea that he was the Savior. Thank you, Lord. The thing I wanted to bring out, a lot of people go to church. A lot of people are active in church ministries. Have never, ever apply the blood of Jesus to their lives. They're just there religiously. I'm not kidding you. They're just there religiously. If anybody watched this broadcast or any Bible studies I do, and you be lost, that is your fault. Because I always imply, number one, I always off the altar call. Number two, I constantly tell you that you must be born again. You must accept Christ as your personal Savior. So there's no way you could be lost. Amen. Except you want to be lost. Did you hear that?
Amen.
I always offer all the call. I always talk about relationship with God. So if you lost, that's because you choose to be. You can't. You'll never stand before God. Say, Pastor, well, never told me about that. I never heard that you had to repent of your sins. I never heard that you had to be watching the blood of Jesus. They could never say that. That's a fact. But many people go to churches. Hey, preachers. Some of them are preachers. They got PhDs, they went to seminars and all these other things. They got all these degrees. But never been blood washed. Never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, let me tell you a little something about repentance. Let me tell you a little something about repentance, how it works. Repentance is a funny thing. Why I say it's a funny thing is that a lot of times people do repentance. People do repentance based off of, I did something wrong. They do repentance based off, I did something wrong.
Amen.
Now, when people repent of their sins, truly, they change. But I know of a story, this goes back, I know of a story that go back in the 50s, that a young man was taught not to go to the movies. His parents told him it was a sin to go to the movies. So he didn't go to the movies because his mother said so. So he went to the movies one weekend with his friends. He went with his friends to the movies. Now he's home. He feels all guilty because he went to the movies with his friends. So he repents before his family. Mom, I repent for doing that. I repent for going to the movies. That sounds exciting, right? Well, guess what? That was not eternal repentance. That was a repentance before those that he knew. Some people say, I'm sorry for what I did. They'll say sorry to other people. That has nothing to do with eternal life. You must repent before God of your sins. You must re-accept Christ as your personal Savior. You must ask him, wash away your sins in his precious blood. Until you do that, you don't have eternal life. You're just doing religious stuff. You're just doing stuff to keep people happy.
Amen.
You're not doing nothing to satisfy God. You're not doing nothing to glorify God. You're just doing stuff to satisfy people. And that's one of the things a lot of people miss. They're doing stuff to satisfy people. When we do things to satisfy people, we lose out with God. God is not interested in that.
Amen.
God don't want us to be as robots. God wants us to serve him peacefully. God wants us to walk before him in a land that are living. You're going to go through things. I was just doing started a broadcast. The broadcast shut up on us. If the whole thing just froze up. But I'm going to keep moving forward. God cares about us. This is why Christ went to Calvary.
Amen.
And when Christ went to Calvary, it was that we would be redeemed from sin. And we'd be redeemed from the curse of the law. People get upset because God doesn't do everything they want. God's not going to do everything you want. It doesn't work that way. Do a parent do everything a child wants? No. What I learned about God is this. He will perform his word for you. He will be an upholder of his word. You need to be an upholder of your word. Let's move on. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And it reads as follows. Listen to this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let me read that again. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. We have. You got to put yourself there. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Amen.
A lot of people trying to get it, make $1 million. My wife told me something that taught me something some years ago. That a lot of times people made $1 million already, don't know it working over the last 20, 30 years. They already made $1 million and don't know it. You add up all the years they've been working and all their income and all their raises. You'll find out a lot of them made $1 million already and don't know it. They're trying to get $1 million and made it already and just don't know it because they're just spending it. It's just going out just like this. But they're not trying to get eternal life. They're so busy trying to get rich or die, trying that they miss that they could get wealth in God. I'm serious. God makes people rich a lot of times. First of all, I want to tell you one of the biggest mistakes people make. They're always asking God to bless them with money, and they miss the biggest cash giver, house giver. You want me to tell you what it is? It's faith. You hear me? It's faith. Do you know faith could get you more than your dollar can?
People don't hear me.
Amen.
Do you know the Bible said if you have a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain and it move. But if you have $1 million, you ain't getting that mountain to move.
Amen.
You're going to spend a lot of money trying to move that mountain. That's a fact. But you could have faith and speak things into existence. Did you hear me?
Amen.
You can speak a new home into it. I'm telling you, you can. When you walk with God, you can ask God for the things that you need.
I've been asking God for things for ministry, and boom, they're happening. Of course, the enemy's acting up, but God is blessing. But the thing I want to tell you, this, God wants to bless us. God wants us to grow in him. God wants us to mature in him. He wants us to move on from the rudiments of Christ.
Amen.
And walk with him in righteousness.
Yes, yes.
He wants us to grow up in him and become somebody in him.
Amen.
He don't want us to remain babes all our lives. After you accepted Christ as your personal savior, after you've been washed in the blood of the Lord, then you begin to grow in him as you read your word and you begin to move forward in God and you move forward in God. And God grow you in him.
Amen.
And you grow in God. And you learn who God is for yourself. And you move forward in God. But it's something you have to do. It is something that you must do each day for yourself. You have to walk with God for you.
Yeah.
You have to talk with God for you. You have to live for God for you. You must get the blood of Jesus applied to your life, the repentance of your sins, and accepting Jesus Christ as your personal savior. It's not going to happen no other way.
Yeah.
Salvation will never come to unto you until you accept it according to the scripture. This Bible makes it plain that you must repent of your sins and you must accept Christ as your personal savior. I don't care nothing about being religious. Being religious ain't doing nothing. Come on, we already know that.
Amen.
People are religious already. It ain't doing them nothing.
Amen.
They're still miserable. We must repent of our sins. We must give our lives to the Lord 100%, not 25%. We must be willing to obey God regardless of what other people are doing. We must be willing to repent of all of our deeds and treat people right and be godly before people each day and not hypocrites. Pointing the finger at everybody else. You did this, you did that. Point the finger at yourself.
Amen.
See where you're falling short and get right.
Amen.
And stay right with God.
Amen.
Every day. Bow your heads with me. Those of you that are watching this broadcast now that don't know Christ as your personal savior, bow your heads with me now. And repeat a simple prayer with me if you want to give your life to the Lord. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my personal Savior. I accept you right now into my life. I thank you for dying on the cross and raising from the third day that I might be saved. I thank you for saving me right now and washing me in your precious blood, Lord. I thank you for coming into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen. It's just not a prayer. It's a fact. If you pray and accept Christ as your personal Savior, he'll come into your life. You need to get into the Word of God and read the Word of God from the book of John and learn about who more Jesus Christ is. Come to our Bible study on Wednesday night. Let God do something for you through the Word, the reading and the preaching of the Word and teaching of the Word, rather than teaching of the Word. You can visit our website. The Tabernacle Delivers INC.org, and you can leave a prayer request on our prayer request page, or you could give a testimony how God brought life and spiritual life into you, and as you accept Christ as your personal Savior, and you can also become a partner with us on our partner page. Amen. Soon we'll be going on another television station, but right now we are on the Daily Gospel Network channel on Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. And we're here on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock for Bible study. 5 o'clock service on Sunday and 8 o'clock service Bible study on Wednesday night. Until then, be faithful to God. Walk with God in righteousness and be blessed of him. God bless.